A reading from the Revelation to St. John, the third chapter. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him, and he with me." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the sixth chapter. At that time Jesus said, "Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe in you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." This is the gospel of the Lord. Great-grandchildren, grandchildren, dear sons and daughters of Melvin Doris, dear saints, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. What do these readings chosen for today have in common? It's food. The Lord is our shepherd who leads his sheep to green pastures for food. In the presence of our enemy, he prepares a table rich with food for us. He promises to hear that those who hear his voice, he will come in and will eat with them, and them with him. And Jesus has no better way to describe himself for us in John 6 than to say, "I am the bread of life, the bread of God come down from heaven to give life to the world." Food might be a good choice for Melvin. And every funeral does have its luncheon. But that is not why we are hearing about food today. It's not really hard to string together three passages from the Bible about eating. Actually, it's a lot harder to try and avoid the subject. This is probably the most frequent image in the whole Scripture, Old and New Testament. Jesus feeds giant crowds at least two times in the Gospels. And every prayer that we have ever uttered for human need in this life has always been summed up by our Lord's words, "Give us this day our daily bread." The Lord is into eating. Rather, the The Lord is into feeding. He's into overturning the great devastation that has consumed us ever since the beginning, when it was eating that brought mankind into sin's corruption. When death first entered the world, bite by bite, and when that ancient serpent first began to devour the dust of the earth. And dust we are, and to dust we return. But so our Lord Jesus Christ came into our dust, took up our weak flesh, and was born of all places in a feeding trough. And he came to do the will of his Father who sent him. And that will was to be the true shepherd, to gather wayward and a scattered sheep into a flock, and to pasture them, and to be raised above the earth, and to bear the serpent's bite on his heel, all so that he could deliver the crushing blow to the devil's head once and for all. Christ let death devour him, whom death never could hold, so that its belly might be burst open when he rose from the dead. So that death might, as St. Paul so eloquently says, be swallowed up in victory. Jesus says he is the true bread come down from heaven. He is the manna sent to give life to those in the dusty desert of death. And as we just sang, he is also that rock cleft with nail and spear for you, bringing forth life-giving water mixed with the precious blood from his side. And it's hard for us Christians not to think about the Lord's own supper whenever we hear this passage, isn't it? And when we think of how our Lord is constantly feeding his sheep, his church. The crucified and risen Lord even gives his crucified and risen body to us as divine food, his atoning blood in which is the life, eternal life, given to satisfy us and to cleanse us. But there is another feast that the Scriptures tell us about, and that is the eternal marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. And this is our great comfort today. The Lord is not done feeding his Lamb. He's taken Melvin to himself now, and he will raise him up to new life on the last day. Those who die in Christ will be raised incorruptible from the dead. The curse of Adam overturned and ready for what? To recline at the Lord's table. Psalm 23 says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." And even after the days of our life have ended, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And the dining room is implied, because the Lord is into feeding. So often in the prophets and in the Gospels does Jesus liken eternity to a banquet. God is the king. He is throwing a lavish feast to which multitudes come and sit and are satisfied. And everyone, especially the Hubrig family, knows that it is the company that really makes the feast. Not just anyone eats together, even in our day. It's a gesture of full fellowship to share a table with someone. And that is why our Lord describes eternal life with Him as a banquet. We are honored guests of the Lord. Now, certainly we look forward to a joyful reunion with those who have gone before us in the faith, those that we have missed. But all the more, we should and must be looking forward to being joined in full communion with God Himself, with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Which brings us to Melvin's confirmation verse from Revelation. Frankly, it's a bit out of context. It comes to us from Christ's letter to the angel and the church of Laodicea in Revelation. This is a church that was infamous for something I don't think Melvin was, being lukewarm, neither hot nor cold toward God, just leaving a bad taste in the Lord's mouth, worthy to be spit out of His mouth. And to them must come the stern warning and the call to repentance. When the Lord comes knocking, it's no impotent sales pitch to unbelievers. No, it is desperate, compassionate, but serious arrival of the Lord to wake up His church. But the reason to choose this verse for confirmation, and then even to pick it to preach on for a funeral, is that banquet image. That's back again. Jesus says, "If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him, and he with me." Jesus says He comes to join us at table and to share His fellowship, His communion with us. And here, Jesus is not talking about that future banquet, feasting in heaven and in the resurrection. Jesus is talking about right now. It is in hearing His voice, hearing His word, and yes, even in tasting His holy sacrament here in His church, whether that's in Laodicea or right here in Great Bend. That is where the Lord is coming to dine with us and we with Him. And nor, Hubrig family, is it a table for two. It is the Lord's will to gather His church together, all of them, to eat with Him, so to speak. And not only to just give them bread to fill them up. Know that He would be present with them as the very bread of life itself. Having joined Himself to Melvin here and brought him into fellowship with life, here is Christ's promise, which you need to hear, dear saints. "This is the will of Him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that He has given me, but raise it up on the last day. Because this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in Him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. What the Lord does here and now is for the sake of eternity. And to what fate does He raise us? Of course, it's to the feast. It's to say to His sheep, 'Come, blessed of my Father, receive the inheritance prepared for you from the foundation of the world.' To join with all of His saints, with His holy flock, His Christian church. And there to be united to Him and thus through him also one to another. This is the hope of a Christian. This is not a hope that stays far away or something that we who are still here ought to put off until later. No, it's a hope that we very much need right now. The Lord must come to us here, today, always, to eat with us and we with him. We must have comfort through his voice, and yes, through his supper also, together in the fellowship of his church, because death frightens us. Death robs us of those we love. We are ever aware of how precarious we are in this weak, sinful flesh of ours. But so Jesus comes and he knocks. And he must say, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I'll give you rest." And he must not only say, "I am the bread of life," but also, "I am the resurrection and the life. And whoever believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me then will never die." And thus at our last hour, we also may depart this life in the confidence that is in the Lord's will, that he give us eternal life, that he will raise us at the last day and bring us together with all his saints into the eternal banquet. Oh, you who mourn, Melvin, do not weep today without great hope. For this sheep has always known his shepherd. He's heard his voice. He's been glad to be nourished by him. He was delighted especially to do it in the company of the Lord's saints right here. He has looked to the Son and believed in him. And so we know exactly what our Lord Jesus has in store for him. Christ has given him eternal life and thus will raise him up on the last day. And in that confidence, we soon will go out to the acre that Melvin himself stewarded for our sake for so long, these many years, and we will plant him there for the time being. We know that Christ's righteousness covers all of his sin. And we know that since Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him all those who have fallen asleep. What a family reunion and a joyous feast that day is going to be. And what greater joy will we all have when our Lord himself forever dines with us and we with him. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.